Thank you very much, Ms. Evans and Dr. Gaines, for those beautiful presentations. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you your keynote speaker for the afternoon, after which I will be taking my departure, so it's certainly been my pleasure to serve as your mistress of ceremonies, and I hope to see you all again this evening after dinner. Your keynote speaker is John Bryan, Chairman, Founder, and CEO of Operation Hope Incorporated. John Bryan is the Founder, Chairman, and Chief Executive Officer of Operation Hope, America's first nonprofit social investment banking organization and a leading national self-help provider of economic empowerment tools and services for the underserved and the wealthless. Since its founding in 1992, he has raised more than $40 million in grant funding and more than $200 million in lending commitments for low wealth, home ownership, and small business creation. In 1994, he was selected by Time Magazine as one of America's 50 most promising leaders of the future as part of their 50 for the Future cover story. In 2004, the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland nominated John Bryan as one of the 238 young leaders selected from around the world to serve as a member of the new Forum of Young Global Leaders. Quite an accomplishment. In 2004, United States President George W. Bush appointed him to a four-year term on the nonpartisan U.S. Community Development Advisory Board for the CDFI Fund at the U.S. Department of Treasury. That same year, he also received an honorary doctorate degree of human letters from Paul Quinn College in Dallas, Texas, for his work around education and poverty eradication. John Bryan has received more than 400 awards and citations for his work to educate, inspire, and empower low-wealth communities nationwide, including a special honor from Oprah Winfrey in 2001, where he was selected by Ms. Winfrey and her Oprah's Angel Network Foundation to receive the Use Your Life Award on The Oprah Winfrey Show, being named a community hero by People Magazine in 2002, and being named one of America's 25 most generous young Americans by Worth Magazine in 2002. Please join me as we watch a short video on Mr. Bryan's accomplishments. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the keynote speaker, Mr. John Bryan.
Isn't God good?
All the time.
I come up the steps to pay respects to those that came before me today who had to travel that long road and who are not professional speakers or CEOs yet. You don't know how difficult it was for some of those young people to make their way up these stairs. And that young brother with the tie on, about this big, I mean, I'm just in love with him. Now that I have gotten the formalities out of the way, I'm not going to come down. Because I want to be with you. I'm not going to talk at you. I'm going to talk with you. If that's okay with you. Every time I see the tape, and as it's playing, I'm just hoping that I'm not wasting your time, and then I waste your time with that background information. Certainly, they don't do it for my purposes. I know who I am and whose I am. I'm watching a different tape. You see, I see the insecure young man who tried to fit in when he was growing up. I see the young man who almost tripped on the way to the stage to get the award from Oprah. That, you can't trip on national television, brother. You got to cut the suit on. You just can't what? Just make it. Do something. Act like you're the finish. You know, just go. Temptation. Try. Do something. I see the man who experienced no good deed shall go unpunished for hosting President Clinton, our first black president, and in the same week hosting President George W. Bush. Now, nobody said anything about me hosting President Clinton. By the way, I want to give my kudos to my man, Aubrey Stone. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today. I'm honored to be your friend. All the heroes and sheroes in this room. Doug and Irene Williams, my in-laws. Your niece, my wife, is fine. I mean, fine.
Inside out.
But, you know, I was hosting President Bush because he's the president. And somebody had the nerve, one person, to say, well, and we were the only nonprofit to host two presidents in 1 week, and versus applauding that and seeing positive in that, this one person said, well, John, you're a Republican. And I said, well, let me set the record straight. I'm not a Republican, I'm a businessman. But while you're at it, she said, well, you're just trying to turn everybody into Republicans. I said, well, the state of my community is in such a place where I turn you into an orange if I thought it would do any good. And then she said, well, this is Democratic territory. And I said, that's part of the problem. Because even Federal Express made the post office a better delivery service. Maybe we need a little competition in the inner city. And then she went on to rail against this and rail against that, and then I realized that facts really didn't matter. So I responded in this way just to summarize. I said, look, let me make sure you understand where I'm coming from. First of all, it's okay if you don't like me. I like me. Life's not a popularity contest. So let me break this down for you as simple as I can. My community's in a crisis. We need every negative indicator you can imagine. So I don't really care whether you're black or white, rich or poor, conservative or liberal, Republican or Democrat. If you want to help me eradicate poverty in my community, you are my friend. And if you don't, you're just wasting my time. PhD the good, PhD the better. So it's not the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, it's the get it done party. And in 2005, we just need to be about getting it done. And so I was watching the tape and seeing what it took to get to the point to get President George W. Bush there. And then I had to answer the open question, well, why are you hanging around President Bush? And Dorothy Height, I don't know if you know the name. Young people, go home and Google Dr. Dorothy Height, a shero amongst us. She's 93 years old, the only black woman to own a building on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., the National Council of Negro Women. If you have a chance to meet her, go and shake her hand. She is the reason, by the way, that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave the I Have a Dream speech. Because, and everybody thinks that he put on the March on Washington. not. It was established by Angela Randolph and all the established leaders of that day. And there are 2 hours of speeches. Listen to me now. 2 hours of speeches. And then somebody said, we've had enough speech makers for today. Dr. King will catch it on another day. And Dr. Dorothy Hyde, remember this is the 60s now. Dr. Dorothy Hyde, remember how women often get treated now in some parts of the world. Understand this is Dr. Dorothy Hyde, a black woman in the 60s, and she said, you gotta let Dr. King speak. Well, come on now, we've had enough speech, man. They've heard everything that anybody could possibly say. She said, the young people listen to Dr. King. Give them 8 minutes. What can he possibly do in 8 minutes? Nobody remembers anything else. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. Dr. Dorothy Hyde, who is one of my mentors and one of my sheroes, in answering the question of why she hung out with every president of the United States since Eisenhower forward, she said this. Last time I checked, it was one president at a time. Whoever's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, we need to have a relationship with them. There's not 6 of them, there's not 12 of them, there's not 2 of them, there is one of them. And you can disagree without being disagreeable. And as I was watching the tape, I was inspired by, and almost teared up again, the young lady who went and got her home loan and bought the apartment building and then took the equity out of the apartment building and started an insurance practice. And we took that lady to the White House 2 years ago, and President Bush signed a bill using her as a role model for the nation. Don't tell me what God can't do if you're willing. The positive things that you saw on that tape, I'm defined not by my successes, but by my failures. Life is 10% what life does to you and 90% how you choose to respond to it. What's your response going to be? I went around and shook some of the young people's hands earlier today. Anybody have any idea why I would do such a thing? Has more degrees than me, you can shake a stick at me. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Let me help you out. There are 6 billion people in the world. And nobody's just like you. Yet we want to belt the ball like Michael Jordan. We want to dance like Michael Jackson. God, the biggest brothers want to be like Dennis Rodman. Even if you successfully did those things, and let's assume you perfected being like Oprah Winfrey, you don't want to be a copy in a world full of originals. Now, there's one attorney for every 300 people in this country. There's nothing special about being an attorney. There's nothing special about selling telecommunications or banking services. And God bless, by the way, Citigroup and Allstate and all Sempra and all those who underwrote these scholarships today. God bless you. But there's nothing special about any of these things. The only thing special about these things is the whom behind the who. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you have a relationship with the person you are doing business with? You don't do business with companies, you do business with people. So I'm always amazed when you go to shake somebody's hand and they, come here, it's like, and they do this. What are you looking at? I'm right here. And then when they find out who you are, and then they want your business card. Can I get your business, not business card, can I get your business card? And, you know, and I was in Baltimore the other day, and I'm going, I'm giving the speech, and Brother Man gonna sit up here, got his leg up on the stick. Brother, do you realize you were born on probation in America? You black, do you realize that? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You cannot be black for a living. Get your foot off the chair. Let me break this down for you. I get paid $10,000 for a 45-minute speech. Did you hear that, Oscar? Can I get a witness? You know I'll be cheap. You know. And if I see one more brother around this country with this standard issue uniform on, this white t-shirt, this raggedy pantaloon that looks like white gold, these jeans that bagging at the knees, talking about you cool, you belong to the Three P's Club, prison, probation, and parole. Ain't nothing special about that. If we had a dollar for every person who was cool, we'd all be millionaires. I said, brother, nobody cares about your drama. And nobody's gonna save you but you. So you mess around if you want to. And I'm gone in 45 minutes. And your life is your responsibility. Now you finish playing if you want to. Now, Peters is very smart. He straightened up. Because he knew it was coming from a loving place. You know, we were told that young black men were endangered species. So we start loving our sons and raising our daughters. What happened? We ended up with a generation of punks as supposedly men and wonderful ladies who are running many of our families. A brother told me today, he said, yeah, I went to a meeting and I was the only man there. There were a lot of males, but I was the only man. So. Y'all didn't know what y'all getting today, but it's a free speech. So, so I remember. I remember Tony. Raise your hand, Tony. That's you, brother. Raise your hand. Talk to me. Come on. No self-esteem problems. I came over to meet Anthony, and he went on stage. I said, my name is John Bright. He said, what's your name? I said, I guess it's these big black lips. My name is John Bright. You put something on it. My name is, he asked me three times. Now, how do you pronounce your name? You want to get it exactly right. Now, brother, gonna tell me his name, not Tony, it's Anthony. Boy, you headed somewhere. I don't know where, but you headed somewhere. And then my man Santana, who I don't see over here, who proceeded to introduce me to all of his friends around the table. And then there's a young lady, I can't see her, she's over here. I mean, the point is, you remember people who make an impression. Who meet you with their whole self. So Deepak Chopra, the great author, has said we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. Scott Peck, the great author, wrote the book The Road Less Traveled. Been on the bestseller list for 22 years. Yet the first line, the first sentence, the first page of this great book states, life is difficult. translation. If you can't get with that statement, don't read the rest of the book. Because nobody promised you a rose garden. Nobody promised you that life was going to be free of grief or pain. Nobody promised you that life was going to be easy. You know, there's a difference between being broke and being poor. Being broke, my buddy Otis Boston knows this, he's an entrepreneur in banking. Being broke is a temporary economic condition. But being poor is a disabling frame of mind and depressed condition of your spirit. And you must vow never, ever, ever to be poor again. My pastor and mentor, Reverend Dr. Cecil Chipmer, a First AME Church pastor emeritus, basically raised me. He said, John, it's not what people call you. It's what you answer to that's important. And never, ever, ever answer out of your name. And then I added, argue with a fool proves there are two. I'd like to tell a little story that illustrates my point. I think this is extraordinarily important of answering your name. Now, in order to tell the story's a little edgy, a little bit of a joke. I need you to help me and give me permission to say this in family conversation for 2 minutes and give me permission to tell the story, otherwise I can't tell it. Right. Now, y'all remember, y'all gave me permission. So, there's a barber shop, and everybody who's white here, y'all all honorary black people for 5 minutes. I ain't got no sense, y'all. I should have known that before you asked me to come speak. So there's a story about a barbershop in the South. And it's a very educated part of town, place, the bougie area where Aubrey would hang out in. And it's a black barbershop. And then there's a parrot on the corner, and then on the other corner there's a black man talking to his son. Black man walks down the sidewalk, very dignified man, to go into the barbershop. As he's going into the barbershop, the parrot says, "Nigga." Now, he know it couldn't be him, so he keeps on walking. Parrot says, "Dumb nigga." So he turns around. Who are you talking to? Nigga? You must not be talking to me. Dumb nigga? I'm a PhD. Nigga? I own 3 businesses. Dumb nigga? I'm a city councilman. I own the block you sitting on. Dumb nigga, about this time, across the street, the man turns to his son and says, "Will you look at that dumb nigga over there arguing with that parrot?" Let it sit in. It's not what people call you. It's what you answer to that's important. And never, ever, ever answer out of your name. Ladies and gentlemen, we stand on the cusp of a new movement. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., at the end of his life, began wondering whether, and I know this because Pastor Young, his right arm, is my mentor, another mentor of mine, and he's my national spokesman. And Pastor Young said that King, a middle-class, educated black man with no self-esteem problem, began to wonder whether he should have been fighting for desegregation versus integration. Because of our issues with self-esteem, a lot of us didn't want to sit next to the white man. We wanted to be the white man. And so he became conflicted. Now, there's something else that King did that was brilliant, because he always was challenging himself. You may not know it, but King was focusing on war, racism, and poverty. We dealt with racism. You may know he dealt with war, Vietnam. But you may not know he was focused on poverty when he was assassinated. There's a total of one book written on this called The Poor People's Campaign. In 1968, he said this: you cannot legislate goodness, and you cannot force someone to respect you. The only way to social justice in a capitalist country is economic terror, ownership. That was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. Now, guess what he was supposed to be 3 weeks before he was, 3 weeks after he was assassinated? There was a march on Washington with poor people. And it wasn't black poor people, because there's more poor white people, more white poor people in America than poor anybody else. It was poor blacks and poor Latinos and poor African Americans, poor Asians, moving them all up the economic ladder. And he was here's a Nobel Peace Prize winner, mobilizing 97% of the US population under a theory of redistribution of wealth. Ambassador Young says he was assassinated for his position on poverty. He never made it to Washington for the Poor People's Campaign. We've had a wilderness period for 40 years. You with me? Unfinished business, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me bring this home and forward. Am I okay? Black folks, sometimes white folks will ask me, why are black folks as a group, because they're obviously they're successful amongst us, but as a group, why haven't we got our collective act together? And I will tell them very simply, we're the only modern race of people in the world today, listen, that created a political power base before we created an economic one. I hope you caught that. The only race in the entire world that created a political power base before we created an economic one. 40 acres and a mule was our salvation. But Lincoln was assassinated, who promised it, and the general who took over said, ah, just kidding. So, check this out. People say, well, black folks don't have a work ethic. I say, why shouldn't we? Let me make sure I understand this properly. You want the benefit of your labor. You put out the labor, you get some benefit. A paycheck, equity, something, with me? So wait a minute, we were slaves, sharecroppers, and indentured servants. Why should I work? So on principle, very many people said, I'm gonna sit on my hands. Now, after three or four generations of sitting on our hands, we're just sitting on our hands. Now you fast forward, because we never got a financial literacy pickup lesson, to 1945. That's a long fast forward. The black middle class was created, ladies and gentlemen, in 1945. What happened in 1945? World War II. The black middle class was created out of government jobs. Post office, postal workers, librarians, teachers, help me out, shipyard, you got it? So we weren't dumb and we weren't stupid. What we didn't know that we didn't know that was killing us. It's what we didn't know that we didn't know that was killing us. We thought middle class was a nice wardrobe, a leased car, a rent apartment building, and a job. And so what was the first power we got? Political power in the 60s. During what? The Civil Rights Movement. What do we do about politicians now? We send them to Washington, we send them to Sacramento, put one hand behind their back and tell them to fight for a decreasing pool of subsidies and entitlements in a country rooted in capitalism. Hello? Who gets a tax break in America? Really? I thought it was a homeowner too. A homeowner, middle class, or anybody with a job who's progressive will get a tax break. Now, here's the net effect. The black middle class has a net worth of $8,000. $8,000. The middle, white middle class, same income level, has a net worth of $88,000. What's the difference? Stocks, bonds, equity, and home ownership. Choices. So it's not about making more money, but making better decisions with the money we make. Here's my prescription for the future, and this is why it's so important for you. Are you with me so far? Because I got low self-esteem. I didn't know you with me. You with me so far?
Yes.
Here is your role. Today you are not awardees. Today you are civil rights soldiers. If the 20th century was about issues of race and the color line all over the world, here's Santana, or what we call civil rights, from South America to the southern states to South Africa, and the first civil right was the right to vote and other civil rights followed, then the 21st century, an economic era, will be about issues of class and poverty. Class and poverty. Class and poverty. Class and poverty. Or what I call silver rights. And the first silver right is financial literacy. Because if you don't know better, you cannot do better. But business wealth is a silver right. Home ownership wealth is a silver right. Health and wellness is a silver right. Your spiritual wealth is a silver right. You can't do none of this without God. God, help me, church. Only yourself, knowing who you are, is a silver right. Nobody can hurt you but you. Now, if I say racism doesn't exist, I'm about to wrap up. No. But racism is sort of like rain. It's either falling someplace or it's gathering. So you might as well get out an umbrella and the color you like and start strolling through it, because it's not going to change, so you must. Don't like me, I like me. If I don't like me, I can't like you. If I don't feel good about me, I can't feel good about you. If I don't love me, I can't love you. If I don't respect me, I'm not gonna respect you. And here's the big one. If I don't have a purpose in my life, I'm gonna make your life a living hell. So, as I close, I say this. You gotta say there's a lot of love in the word no. I love you, but you need to go get a job. I love you, but if you gonna do the crime, you dang well gonna do the time. I love you, but if you have these nappy-head kids, not y'all included, y'all better take care of them. We gotta start being more disciplined in our own community. We talk about police brutality. We got more problems with black-on-black crime than police have ever heard of. And ladies and gentlemen, we can do it. You cannot have a rainbow without a storm first. It's a scientific fact. The Bible talks about poverty in Proverbs. But it says to be poor is not to not have anything. To be poor is not to not do anything. And lazy hands make a man poor. That's the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our time. This is our time. You can't grow America unless you grow Oakland, and Sacramento, and South Central LA, and Harlem, and Anacostia, and Detroit. Hello? It's not a black community, it's not a brown community, it's an underserved community. And Harlem's gone. Somebody figured out it's Upper Manhattan. Hello? And they are building million-dollar townhomes right now. I've been about to get out of town on 125th Street. A 10-acre house is $500,000. So when there is no vision, the people perish. So Operation Hope was my dream. $51,000 budget, one employee, and a vision to change the world and to eradicate poverty. I was 26 years old. I started my first business when I was 10 years old. Made $300 found girls off the business that have been recurring in my life. Operation Hope is in 16 cities. We have 260 partners with $4.5 trillion in assets between them. We have funded $140 million in loans, creating 1,000 homeowners and 150 small business owners. And in 10 years, not one home loan has ever gone bad.
like these bright lights in checking, saving, credit, investment, the history of dating, because we're not dumb and we're not stupid, and what we don't know that we don't know, that's killing us. And I'm not going to stop until we educate 5 million urban children in financial literacy. Until we recruit 25,000 volunteers to help us teach these children. Until we fund $1 billion in low-off home ownership. And until we spark a move in this country from civil rights to silver rights. Ladies, this is our time. Gentlemen, this is our time. If not now, when? If not us, who? History may never feel special when it happens. And don't tell me we're too small because Jesus Christ had 12 and one of them betrayed us. He ain't done so bad. So let's assume that none of this touched you in any way. Have I bored you?
No.
I tell you, I have low self-esteem. Are you with me? Have I bored you?
No.
Let's assume, because I've been paying you a lot of money to be here today. So, it was for you. Unless you want to underwrite a Citigroup. And I have this to say. You don't get any credit from God for being a nice person. You don't get any credit from God for being pleasant. For showing up to work on time. For raising your children. For putting a roof over their heads. For disciplining them when they screw up. For being a nice person. You know, it takes 7 muscles to smile and 35 muscles to frown, and they're an expert at being miserable. You gotta work at being a miserable person, and they are absolute pussy idiots. You don't get credit for doing any of those things. You're supposed to do those things. Chris Rock once said, a guy went to him and said, I ain't never been to jail. Are you for a cookie? You're not supposed to go to jail. Doing what you're supposed to do. You only get credit from God for helping other people.
Amen.
And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I want a spiritual platinum card with no limit on it. So if I leave you today, and I know I just messed up your schedule, I apologize. I'm not sorry, but I apologize. I just ask you, what kind of bird do you want to be? There are 3 types of people, like 3 types of birds. There are eagles, there are buzzards, and there are turkeys. Now, eagles don't fly in packs. You've never seen a flock of eagles. An eagle even raises their children differently. You see, an eagle's nest is filled with sharp little twigs. Message, if you get big enough, when you're pushing up against the inside of that nest, you better get up and go get a job. You talk about being 49 years old living with your mom. And then you got, don't act like you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has something moving over here. And then you got buzzards. Buzzards are low altitude birds. Buzzards love packs. Buzzards are always stepping on your head to elevate themselves. Always play hate, never play congratulate. And then you got the worst kind of bird. The worst kind of bird is a turkey. Because a turkey got wings and can't even fly. All they do is soapbox. Trying to be something they are. How do you say leaf can out of the front line of your rent apartment building? So, I just leave you today with a call to action. I leave you today suggesting that we need to have an inspired perspective. I leave you today saying, what are we waiting for? This is our time. And you cannot have a rainbow without a storm first. May God bless you.